So as I mentioned earlier, four kids, right? So when you have four young adult kids, that means you've also had four preschoolers, all right? Now, preschoolers are crazy fun and terrifying all at the same time. If you've had them, you're glad that you can say had them, right? Because it's a wonderful stage, but it's challenging. Everything is, right? They're cute for sure, but they're terrifying. I mean, how they eat is a fascinating thing. I just have all of these images of my little preschoolers, right, sitting at the table eating and basically turning pretty much any food they had into a hair gel. Right? Like, it just, they'd put it in there, and it's like they were trying to be early scientists and trying to figure out how they could, you know, mass produce a product. But that was a part of their eating. The spaghetti sauce, like, just completely enveloping their face, right? And the little teeth smiling through and all that kind of, like, kids are just interesting. Their sleeping is a challenge. But when they do finally fall asleep, they will fall asleep anywhere. If you've had a preschooler, I'm pretty sure you've had a child fall asleep on the stairs. Right? I can still remember a picture of me as a kid just falling, like, now I'm done. I'm good, and right? And just, boom, down you go. That's kind of preschoolers. Preschoolers are interesting. They say all kinds of things. And one of the things that I think pretty much every preschooler will say is when you're in one of those tense situations, and they'll look up at you, and they'll say, you're not the boss of me. Right? Right? Or sometimes they also do this one. They'll look at you, and it's clearly a very tense moment. And they just look up at you, and they start flapping their little eye. Daddy, I love you. Right? And you're in that moment where you're kind of like bringing it because you got to get this corrected or whatever, and then it just completely, completely melts you. Interesting. I think most of the things, frankly, that preschoolers do in that 2, 3, 4, 5 years of age thing aren't so cute when you're 20, 30, 40, dare I say 50, right? Like they kind of lose their cuteness as you move on. If you've got a Bible, smartphone, or if you just memorize Luke chapter 5, you're in good shape this morning. So Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we're going to be looking at a story here. The main characters of the story are Jesus, right? That we're a church, and Simon, James, and John. Interesting story, one of the stories that we love teaching kids in Sunday school, but one that would be really good, I think, and I learned some interesting things through this story I want to share with you briefly this morning. Let me just read it for you. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He sat at the water's edge, at the water's edge, two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked them to put it out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people. So they pulled the boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. It's a story you're likely familiar with. You know, and it was just said in, you know, one day, right? Jesus, just one day, was walking around. And you see, Jesus' ministry was the kind of thing where he was traveling around the Mediterranean rim there, right? People were following him. He was teaching and doing all kinds of amazing things. And what would happen is that people crowded around him. They followed him because he was kind of amazing. He had things to say. He said things in certain ways that people hadn't heard before. And so they settle in, Lake of Gennesaret, as we said, people crowding in, listening, because he spoke as someone with authority in ways that they hadn't heard before, and they were amazed. The crowd is pressing in a little bit, so Jesus hops into Simon's boat, and this is where the story takes a little bit of a change and things, and he kind of pushed the boat out a little bit, and he's talking to them. And when he was done, he comes in, and you heard what I read there. You saw what it was, and Jesus kind of steps in, and he says, listen, you need to put out, you need to go fishing again. Stop cleaning your nets. There's fish out there. Go. Now, I don't know how you would feel. Preacher guy stuck his nose in your profession as if he knew what he was doing. Because that's what's going on here. Like, these are fishermen. They're professionals. They were cleaning their nets. They'd worked hard all night. And it was a bad night. And yet Jesus decided to step in. He says, put it out into the deep. Let down the nets for a catch. And Simon responded rather calmly, it seems. Well, Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will. Let that sink in for a minute. But because you say so, I will. Carry on the story and says, so when they had done so, when they heard what he said and they actually did it, all of a sudden God did this amazing thing. Like, the fish were just coming everywhere. The two boats, it's ridiculous, right? Boats to the point where they're afraid that they're drowning. It's crazy. The response is these people are in awe and astonished at what has taken place. It's an interesting story. Jesus calls Simon and says, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people. Let's roll the clock forward a few years, almost 3 years, actually. So Peter and James and John have been following Jesus around for almost 3 years, right? And he's done more of this. He's done more of the fish miracles. He's done more of the healings. He's done more of the feeding people. It's done all kinds of stuff, and it has been incredibly powerful. If you got a Bible, turn to Matthew 26. These words aren't actually up on the screen. But Matthew chapter 26, 3 years later, we have Jesus at a very different stage. Yes, the crowds have been following him, but the crowds are starting to dwindle off a little bit. Because Jesus has been talking about how, you know, I'm actually going to die. And this is the season we're around right now. It's called the Passion Week, right? We're getting to that. And verse 36 of chapter 26 of Matthew says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And if you know the story, he went away a second time and prayed. And my Father, if it's possible for this cup to be taken, unless I drink it, may your will be done. And when he came back, what did he find? He found them asleep again. Asleep again. Now, what I noticed in this story this time, this is one of the most challenging passages of Scripture I find in all of Jesus' story. But what caught my attention this time was, who are the people he took with him? Simon, right? James and John. The same ones that you know, 2 to 3 years earlier are on the lake, right? And they're like, what is going on? This is crazy. How in the world? Like, we were just out there. We are fishermen, and yet this guy said something, and we did what he said, and it's just crazy. It's unbelievable. See, Jesus is at a very significant moment in his life, and hear those words, my soul is overwhelmed. Like, he needed his dear companions with him. And they were kind of with him. I mean, they were there. So they were with him, but I don't know if we would say they were really with him. I mean, they were falling asleep. They were there, but not really. And so in that first story, the first scene, if you like, you've got Jesus coming along and going, listen, you need to throw your nets out there. And what did Peter say? Peter said to him, okay, but because you say so, I will. And that's a significant statement. But what struck me in this story is that now we have Jesus doing so. So in the first thing, you've got Jesus coming along, and what's he doing? He's challenging their authority of their life. He's saying, listen, I know you're fishermen. I get it. But you need to go back out there. And they had, you know, every right to make a decision to go whether they were going to go out or not. But they decided to surrender themselves to Jesus in that moment. And that's the call that you and I get to make. You roll the clock forward a little bit to this story, right? And now Jesus is kind of that main character. And Jesus is coming along. And what's he saying to his father? If there is any other way. Now, folks, Jesus said it. And Jesus is not a deceiver. And Jesus is not a liar. He meant those words. This was a difficult thing he was stepping into. That's powerful enough. The humanity, the realness, is that a word? Of Jesus, right? But what kicks it to a whole nother level is when you realize what he says after that. He says, but Father, not my will, but your will. And so we have this, but because you say so, I will, statement that Peter's saying. And now we have Jesus living it, and we can change it to, but because you did so, I will. I mean, that's the challenge for us. Jesus isn't just one of those guys that says, hey, you need to go over there and you need to do that. He's just not the say-so guy. Jesus was the guy that he's going to lead you and show you and teach you and do the things that he asks us to do. Right? It's pretty powerful stuff when we pause a little bit and just take into account. Now, it should be, by the way, just in case we're wondering, it should be enough that Jesus said so. Right? I mean, he's Jesus. He created this whole thing. He knows us. It should be enough. When Jesus says, you fill in the blank, it should be enough just that he said so. But he takes it to a whole other level. When we look at the story and recognize Jesus doesn't just say so. He doesn't just sit on some stool somewhere and point and tell it. He does so. So our deal is, are we going to add the but because he said so, I will? Are we going to add the but because he did so, I will? It's challenging. I get it. Jesus comes to us in his word. He teaches us amazing things. He astonishes us with his teaching. It's powerful. It's stuff we've never heard before. It's stuff we just frankly don't hear within the regular run of our culture. And we have the opportunity as to whether or not we think it's good. And we have the choice as to whether or not we're going to go, okay, all right, because you said so. Or whether we're going to look at it a little deeper and go, it's not just that he said so, but I mean, he was willing to, I mean, he put his money where his mouth was, right? Like he laid it on the line. And he did so. Now, Jesus acknowledges something that you, I think you get. It's not easy. I mean, the Spirit is willing, it says, right? Like there's a want to. But the flesh is weak, it says. There's this idea that, I want to do that. I really do. I mean, I wrote out a list. I put it in my calendar.
If you're like me, you're sending yourself regular email reminders, like every day they pop up, the priority things that you want to see happen in your life, right? You're not taking any chance that you're going to forget. You're doing what you can, but man, it's still hard. It's still a challenge. And so the question I'm asking myself, and I'm asking you this morning is, sort of, who has the say of your way? Who gets to have the say? I mean, I could tell all kinds of stories about my marriage with Carla and how this very quiet, meek, mild person, when she gets her say, right? Because she does. But there's a bigger story going on here. Who gets that? Who gets to have that say? Because just as a preschooler at 2, 3, 4, and 5, I mean, it might be cute. You're not the boss of me. It doesn't work. It doesn't work with God. When you're 20, 30, 40, it's not cute anymore. You've got a boss. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Let's pray. God, this story, sort of your story, I suppose, the flow of it from the lake, the miracle, to you know, these men and women who have spent these days and months and years seeing you do so much. That's not a formula that means just because we've seen all that means we're going to follow. Matter of fact, God, as we know, the crowd kind of walked away. When you needed them most, the crowd kind of walked away, and they'd seen it all, and they'd heard you say so much. They'd seen you do so much, and yet they fell away, just like Simon, just like James, just like John. And God, we go, man, if I could just have a day with Jesus like that, or if I could just have a month with Jesus like that, somehow, you know, Lord, we'd be able to kill it. We would be different. And yet you would be right here in front of us this morning, deep within our souls, saying, okay, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to hear? Are you willing to obey? Are you willing to say in a preschool way, you are the boss of me? So God, we're trying to learn how to surrender to you, our good and gracious and loving and sacrificing God. Teach us. Man, just stick with us. Don't give up on us. Thank you so much for who you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.